Family, we're glad you're here today. Let's have a prayer as we begin today. Lord God Almighty, Father, help us to be the kind of worshiper that you seek, one that worships from the heart. And I pray, Father, today as we talk about your unchanging nature, that you are constant. We just pray that you will write these truths on the tablets of our hearts. Because, Lord, we live in some difficult times. A lot of us in this room are struggling with different trials and issues that we're facing, problems that we're dealing with. And we pray, Father, we thank you for this amazing truth, Father, that you never change, that you are constant. We ask that you be glorified today, be honored, be praised. We invite your Holy Spirit to teach us today, draw us close to you. Father, may we just not hear a message, let's put it into action. We pray, Father, for an obedient heart as a result of this day. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about the last 50 years. How much change has happened in the last 50 years? I don't know who the oldest in our congregation is right now. I don't want to embarrass them, but we have many in their 80s, maybe one in their 90s, I think. And I can't imagine the change that you've seen in your lifetime. But I want you to remember 78s. Y'all remember 78s? Anybody here remember 78s? All right, we're in the right place today. How about 45s? All the young people are going, what's that? They're records. Those are plastic black things that we used to listen to music on. Yeah, and this one's my favorite, 8-tracks. Remember 8-tracks? Anybody dislike 8-tracks immensely when you were a kid? It used to annoy me. I'd want to hear the song on the program 3, but I'd have to sit through a bad song to get to the good song. This is a television. You used to have to get up and change the channel yourself. Remember? I remember my grandfather bought this huge Zenith thing. It was like 25-inch television or something. He thought he was, he just was so thrilled with that. But we didn't have remotes back then, young people. Do what? You go change the channel, yeah. That's a good one. Y'all remember this guy, right? Remember the guy at the gas station? What can I do for you, sir? Can I check under the hood? Remember how they would, they pour, the oil in and they do your gas for you? Remember that little credit card machine, rack, rack? Remember that thing? I used to love that when I was a kid. I'm like, I want one of those. I want one of those cards I could go rack, rack with. They used to actually have people that would pump your gas for you. And look at this, good people. Remember those days? 25 cents. 25 cents for gas. I remember my grandfather got all upset when it went up from 19 cents to 25 cents. He had a cow. I'll never forget that. That's probably my grandmother's Ford Galaxy 500. Man, that was the ugliest car. But she loved that car. That thing was big as a boat. But you remember, look at all the changes that have happened in the last 50 years. I mean, just in the time frame just since the 60s. Everything changes. We change as people. The moment you're born, you change. You're constantly in the womb, you're changing. Look at the seasons. We have seasons, fall, winter, summer, they're constantly changing. We have supernovas that explode, stars that explode that are going through change. And of course we have our emotions. We wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's only one thing in the universe that does not change. And I'm so thankful that the Lord God Almighty never, never changes. Make sure on your outline, you pull your outline out today. If whenever you see a word that's in yellow, it's underlined, make sure you fill that in. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. David writes, "In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." God cannot change from worse to better, nor can He change from better to worse. God doesn't need any improvement. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a comforting thought. Now, it's an amazing thing to think about, that you think about, we serve the same God Noah served, the same God Abraham, Moses, Martin Luther, you name the person in history that we're familiar with. It is the same God. And that should excite you, because that is the God, a God of miracles, a God that is working powerfully in His midst if we call on Him. "I change not," He says. "I change not." And I'm glad He doesn't change. You remember the story of Moses, as God calls Moses. And here's the account in Exodus 3. I don't think there's anything more powerful. And this, by the way, is the Moses guy in the movie. And I always like when God wants to make it clear to His people that He doesn't change, He says, when He calls Moses, He says, "Let me tell you about my name." So He says to Moses, "So now go," the Lord says. "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people and Israelites out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain," where he was, Mount Sinai. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What should I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Tell the Israelites, 'I am has sent me.'" I want you to notice that it's in the present tense. It's not "I will be" or "I was," it's "I am." God is a right now kind of God. When God says His name is "I am," it means many things. It means He is the self-existent one. He is unchanging. He is the right now God. He is a God of right now, not a few. He is right here, right now. He's also above time, which our minds cannot possibly grasp. God sees the whole picture from beginning to end, but He's also the ever-present God in times of trouble. Right now, God. "I don't know what I'm going to do." "I am." "Who can I trust?" "I am." "Does anyone really care about my life?" "I am." "Nobody's listening to me." "I am." "I'm scared about the future of our country." "I am." "I'm worried about my children." "I am." Say it with me, church. What is the latest thing?
"I am."
"Nothing is real anymore." "My marriage is sinking. I don't know what to do." "I'm pouring my life into others. Who's pouring into me?" "Does anyone really know what I'm going through?" "I am." "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the A and the Z. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the ever-present right now God that's in your life right now, the same God that served Noah, Moses, same God.
Same God. So if the Lord does not change, then the next point is very, very obvious. It's obvious His Word never changes. His Word never changes. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry, Isaiah says. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Jesus really said it the best way. Heaven and earth will pass away. In other words, the universe and everything that you see, it's going to pass away, but my words will never pass away. So that tells me there's two things going into eternity. Our souls and the Word of God. If the Word of God, if the Bible were taken out of your life, would you really notice how important are God's words to you? Jesus says, these are the things you need to focus on. Your soul, the Word of God. So since God and His words are unchanging, then the next point is obvious as well. His plans remain unchanging. I love this passage from Psalm 33. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. His plans stand firm. No one can change them. You can't change them. I can't change them. No dictator, Satan, demons, nobody in the universe can change the plans of God. Amen? And the point is that the fact is the Lord is in charge of history. He is taking history somewhere. And that is the simple message of Revelation. We win. God wins. God is in control. He is in charge of history. He never changes. Remember this. Keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Only God knows the future. Psychic hotline, sorry, Dionne Warwick, it doesn't work. It's fake. They want your money. They're lies. Only God knows the future. And He says, my purpose will stand. This is a wonderful truth I think is important to understand, that God, you and I, His children who are in covenant relationship with Him, are never at the mercy of any person or any circumstance. God is never taken by surprise at any person's decisions or actions. He has already factored them into His purpose and plan for us. Rest in the fact that God is managing every detail in order to work out His purpose for you. Nothing is left to chance. Don't tell me it's luck. It's not luck. God is working amidst us. And He's never taken by surprise in any of our decisions. You think, oh, Chris, I can't believe that you did that. And yet He still loves me. He still loves you. If God is unchanging, I think the question we all wrestle with is, and why should I pray? Why should I pray? The purpose of prayer is to release the power of God to accomplish the purposes of God. The purpose of prayer is to discover God's will, not obligate Him to do mine. To reflect God's mind, not to change it. The key to powerful praying is to learning how to let God pour His own desires into my heart and make them mine. Prayer is something that God wants us to do, yes. But we come to Him seeking and surrendering to Him. What do you want me to do here, Lord? I will do whatever you want me to do. It's having a dependent spirit upon Him. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Simply put, may your ways become my ways. May your ways become my ways. We do that by surrendering our lives. Prayer activates God's will. It's not that God can't intervene without prayer. It's that He won't. And I think to myself sometimes, what have I missed? Have I missed anything? Have you missed anything in your life because you never prayed for it? We have not because why? We ask not. And I wonder sometimes if we have missed a lot of things that God's, that you can't get back. All because we haven't prayed. James 5, these words, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. I love those words. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. You know, as we know the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19, there's a passage there that talks about, you know, no rain for 3.5 years during a time when Israel were very idolatrous. And from this passage, it looks like Elijah, the drought was his idea. And he came to God with his idea, hey God, how about we just stop the rain for 3.5 years? But the truth of the matter was, it was not his idea. God told him that would happen. It became a part of Elijah, and he prayed for it. And Elijah's prayers released the will of God on earth. That's the purpose of prayer. To get in line with what God is doing. And yes, God delights to bless His children. He delights to give us the desires of our hearts. And as a good parent, He's going to give us what we need, not what we want a lot of times. Does prayer change things? Absolutely. Absolutely. Prayer releases the power of God to accomplish His purposes. And as we've said, I wonder if we've missed out on God's best. The best way to get God's best is to say, Lord, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll be anything for Your glory. I am Yours. I surrender my life to You. What can I do? Because God's best is always the best for us. He knows exactly what we need. And I don't know about you, but I want God's best for my life. So what about those passages that imply, you know, God maybe changed His mind? There's several passages in Scripture. I can think of Noah. I can think of Jonah. I can think of some other passages. This one from Exodus 32 has always intrigued me. You know, the passage with the golden calf where Israel, you know, they get the Ten Commandments. They're doing great. And then Moses goes up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and they build a golden calf to worship. Lord gets very angry and He says, now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation, Moses. And then it says in verse 14, after Moses has pleaded with the Lord and said, you know, that's going to make you look bad. He says, then the Lord relented and did not bring on His people the disaster He had threatened. You know, from that passage it appears that God changed His mind. I really don't think so. Moses got in line with God's plans and desires. Moses is now connected with what God is connected with. And I think underneath it all, God is testing him. Because any leader has to be tested. If they're going to be an effective leader, they have to be tested. God was testing his motives to see what was he really in this for. Was he in this for God's glory or was he in this for himself? And Moses says, hey, Lord, it's going to make you look bad if you do that. Don't do that. He had a pure heart. Pure heart. So what does God's unchanging nature mean for us? It simply means three things as we close up today. God's unchanging nature brings me stability. It brings me stability. It's interesting in Eastern culture, when you describe God, they use metaphors to describe God. God is a rock. God is my fortress. He is my, you know, they give you word pictures. In the East, we will say, or in the West, we will say, you know, God is all powerful. God is all knowing. I like the imagery of God being a rock. Because imagine if you got thrown into a river that was going very fast. And the first thing that you want to grab onto is what? You want to grab onto a rock or something that's going to that's stable. And that is exactly what God is for us. What is going to hold you up during the trials of your life? When the trials come, when the storms come, when you get the pink slip, when you get the divorce papers, you know? What are you going to do when you get cancer? Or they come to you and just everything's knocked out. You lose your home. You lose everything. What is the truth that is going to hold you together? And that is God is constant. We can have total chaos in our lives. God is still sitting on the throne. As we talked about last week, He is holy. He's sitting on the throne. He's not pacing back and forth wondering, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? You know, September 11th happened, what are we going to do? God is constant. He is my stability for my life. Is He the stability for your life? Who are you going to turn to when it all falls apart? And it's so sad, I see so many people. They come to church. They may talk about God. They may worship God. But in their hearts, Jesus Christ is not Lord. We take Jesus as our Savior, but refuse Him as our Lord. But it's when the trials come when we realize, oh my goodness, my faith is not strong. Where am I? What am I doing? And then God says, "Come back to me. Come back to me. I love you." Trials get our attention. But the central truth that we will always hold on to is God never changes. Amen? You know, what if we weren't sure if the sun was going to rise tomorrow? What if you were wondering in the back of your mind, gee, I wonder if the sun's going to rise tomorrow? Or what if gravity still, you know, stops working? Can you imagine what kind of life we would have in this planet? It'd be crazy. The fact that God has set things in motion and He is a God who does not change, He has set laws in place so that we know the sun is going to rise tomorrow and that gravity works and that we are at a 23.5 degree axis. Did you know if we were 1 degree this way or that way, we would fry? Aren't you glad that we're at 23.5 degrees? Because when God created all things, He knew exactly what He was doing. And it's amazing how we figure things out way, way later of what God's already known. The fact that God is stable, God doesn't change, means God is not moody. Aren't you glad He didn't get up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? God got frustrated with these prayers and He's angry about it. And, well, what do you want, Chris? Aren't you glad He is not moody? He is the same. Everlasting, compassionate, loving, merciful, kind, gracious. God of wrath, yes. God of love, yes. But always constant. And it's interesting when you get into looking at other religions and you look at how they operate and how their gods operate, you will not find gods who are stable. In any other religion, all the other gods change. For example, if you look at the Greek and Roman gods, they had no idea what kind of mood Zeus would be in, okay? And all the different Roman gods that they worshipped. He was moody. Same with Hinduism. Hinduism can't decide what they're going to worship. They don't know which way is truth. So therefore, there's a lot of unstableness in that religion. They don't know which God to appease. Look at Buddhism. Same thing. If I can achieve nirvana, if I can go through the 8 stages of enlightenment, maybe I can find it. There's no stability. Because they never have confidence. I remember talking to many Muslim taxi drivers in Tanzania and asking them, are you confident you're going to paradise when you die? If Allah wills. Are you confident you're forgiven? If Allah wills. They don't know. Because their God changes quite frequently his mind. And if you look at all African animism and witchcraft, everything's based on appeasing spirits, so they never have confidence and really know. Aren't you glad Yahweh, the Lord, does not change? Amen? So what does God's unchanging nature mean for us? It gives us stability. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Secondly, it gives me security. It gives me security in my relationship with Him. Just because I fail, just because I fall down, doesn't mean God gives up on me. God is faithful when I am faithless. God is still God when I have a bad hair day, when I sin against Him, when I make mistakes. He is still God. It doesn't change anything with Him. You know, what if we had a God who didn't feel like forgiving us today? Well, you've come too many times, Chris, for that. I'm sorry, I'm fresh out of it today. God is the same. His love never fails. It never gives up on me. He doesn't give up on you. And I know some of you here today have brought a lot of baggage. You come in here and you've said, you know, I think I'll put on my Christian mask this morning. I think I'll just, you know, act like everything's going great in my life. And it's not going great in your life. And you're struggling. You're trying to figure out, you know, is God still God? And what am I going to do with all these problems? God is the same. He is constant. He is faithful. He can be your stability. He can be your security if you will let Him. And He will forgive when we sin. But Chris, I've messed my life up. Yes, I have too. We all have. But our God specializes in transformation, in changing our lives. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're going to be new tomorrow morning. Fresh on the altar, new tomorrow morning. Great is your faithfulness. God doesn't give up on us. You think God's going to give up on you? Go read the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. Go read it. You're going to see a people that constantly rebel against Him, constantly disappoint Him. God says, I will never give up on you, Israel. I love you with an everlasting love. And that is the same God that we serve, that loves you, is not going to give up on you. So don't let your problems and your circumstances overwhelm you. Bring them to the God who can overcome those circumstances. It's just like Job. Job didn't need an answer as to why he was suffering. You don't need an answer as to why you're going through the trials you're going through. What you need is a bigger view of God. And that is exactly what we're trying to do this fall. We're trying to increase our understanding of who God is. Because if you understand you serve a big God, the problems of this life become very small. Because my God is a big God. Amen? Is your God a big God? He's almighty, Adonai. Finally, today, God's unchanging nature gives me hope. Hope. I guarantee you most religions in the world offer no hope because they don't offer a solution to the sin problem. Hope is a confident expectation that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. That's hope. Hope is not wishful thinking, saying, well, I hope to go to Walmart this afternoon. I wouldn't do it on Sunday, by the way. Hope is a confident expectation that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. How can we have hope if God is not also unchanging? To have hope, you've got to have a God who never changes, who's constant. The fact that His word, His plans are unchanging gives me stability, gives me security, and gives me hope for whatever I'm facing. Let's pray as we close. Lord our God, God Almighty, we are so thankful today that you never change. We're thankful, Father, that all the trials and struggles and problems that we deal with in life, that you never are fazed by them. Help everybody here today. Help us turn to you as our rock, as our fortress, as our strong deliverer. Lord God, we just ask, Father, we ask that you will give us a bigger view of you. Help us see you as you really are. Write these truths on the tablets of our hearts today. We love you. We honor you this day. In Jesus' name. Today, if we can assist you with prayer, with baptism, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, see, oh.